And it's springtime, and I love spring. Spring is my favorite time of year. Things start growing, and I want to give a thanks out to Brandon. Where there he is, Brandon and his team. They seeded the back of the building. If you go out there, everything's just beautiful. It's not green yet, but I looked out there today. They planted everything yesterday, and it's not green yet. But it's going to happen. It's going to be beautiful, and so I'm very grateful for all they did out there. And something else I want to mention is Carrie Westling came up to me. Sorry, I'm calling you out. She came up to me last week and said, "Man, I hope somebody asked me to be a part of the mowing team." She loves to mow. And I said, "I can help. I can help you with that." So if anybody else here would like to be a part of the mowing team, come to me. I've got connections. I can help you with that. So I know people. So it's a time that things are growing, and leads to me to the parable that we're going to be talking about today. We started this chapter. Matthew 13 is all about the parables of Jesus. Today is the parable of the wheat and the seed, or the wheat and the weeds, which is all about sowing and growing and mowing, or technically reaping. And I'm looking at this parable. I'm thinking perhaps the heart of this parable. What's this parable about? And maybe the issue today is how to deal with evil people. So if that fascinates you here, you know, is there evil in this world? Yeah. And why is there evil in this world? Do we have a good understanding of that? What are we to do about evil in this world? I think this parable really talks to that. Why does God allow it? Why does he tolerate it? Why doesn't he just put an end to it all? So let's get in the parable. This is Matthew 13, verse 24. And let's see what we can glean from this here. So Matthew 13, verse 24, Jesus told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while everyone was sleeping, the enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. And when the wheat sprouted and formed heads, the weeds also appeared. And the owner's servants came to him and said, "Sir, didn't you sow good seed in your field? Where then did the weeds come from?" Verse 28, he responds, "An enemy did this." Well, the servants asked, do you want us to go and pull them up?" "No," he answered, "because while you're pulling the weeds, you may root up the wheat with them. Let both of them grow until harvest. And at that time, I will tell the harvesters, first collect the weeds and tie them in bundles to be burned, and then gather the wheat and bring it into my barn." So there's the parable. Do you get anything out of that? Was that like, oh, wow, oh, yeah. I mean, it's kind of like last week. I haven't got a clue. Don't know what he's talking about here. And the disciples didn't either. Once again, the disciples have to go to him, "Lord, we didn't get the last week's parable. We don't get this one either." So in verse 36, they asked Jesus, "Explain to us the parable of the weeds in the fields, because we don't understand what you're saying. We need answers here." And Jesus gets into a very detailed answer in verse 37. He tells it just like it is. This is what I'm talking about. He says, "The one who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seed stands for the son of the kingdom. The weeds are the sons of the evil one. And the enemy who sows them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age. The harvesters are the angels." He lays it out. He tells us just how it is. So here, look at this key here with me. The sower, the one who's sowing the good seed, who's that? It's the Son of Man, Jesus. The field, he tells us the field is the world. The wheat, think about this, the wheat. What is the wheat? The wheat is the sons of the kingdom. Now this parable is very different from last week's parable. If you're trying to put these two things together, I'm thinking it's not going to work. It's just, he's going someplace completely different with this parable. But the wheat is the sons of the kingdom. The wheat is the good seed. It's FDA approved. It's the gold standard. It gives a good return. It brings joy to the sower, the one who's sowing it. That's the wheat, the sons of the kingdom, the children of God. Okay, but what are the weeds? The weeds are the sons of the evil one. The sons of the evil one. And there's actually something out there that looks very much like wheat. It's not wheat. It's actually called bearded darnel, if that's how you say it. Lolium timpanum. Well, I just tried to impress everybody, and it didn't work, did it? but it looks exactly like wheat until it ripens. You know, you're out there, you're looking at the field, you're like, wow, all this is wheat. No, 50% of it's wheat, 50% of it's weed. It's this Darnell stuff. The farmers in Kansas, they actually call it cheat. So you got the wheat and the cheat. It's growing together here. And this Darnell, it's actually slightly poisonous. It can cause, it can make you nauseous. It can make you dizzy. Now, you think about what weeds are. Weeds are anything that you don't have to plant, you don't have to water, you don't have to fertilize. They just grow on their own. And it seems like they're everywhere. But here in this parable, we find out the weeds didn't just happen. They didn't just grow by chance among the good crop. They were planted, it was planted by the enemy. The weeds are tools of Satan to undermine and to sabotage what God is doing, God's kingdom. And the enemy itself, Jesus talks about the enemy. The enemy who sows them is the devil. Interesting. It's interesting here because everything else stands for something else. The sower is this, the field is this, the wheat is this, the weeds, what's the devil? The devil is the devil. The devil doesn't symbolize something else. Jesus says the sower of the weeds, that is the devil. There is a devil. The harvest. What's that? That's talking about judgment day. And the harvesters. Who are the harvesters? The harvesters are the angels. Now, what's the point of the parable? So he says, this is the key to it. This is what everything represents. In verse 40, he says, as the weeds are pulled up and burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of the age. So this is about end times. This is about the end of the, this is about judgment day. In verse 41, the Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will weed out of his kingdom everything that causes sin in all who do evil. They will throw them into the fiery furnace, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. This is about the fate of the weeds. That's what this parable is about, the fate of the weeds. The weeds are defined as everything that causes sin in all who do evil. Everything that causes sin in all who do evil. Evil, that word actually means all who are lawless, all who practice lawlessness. And when you would think about that, it's not talking about government laws. It's talking about the laws of God. Those who don't submit, those who don't obey, those who aren't practicing the laws of God. That is evil. According to the Bible, that's what evil is. And their destiny is fire, the fiery furnace. And notice once again, fire, what's fire symbolized in the parable here? Everything, the field is the world, the weeds are the sons of the evil one, the enemy is the devil, the fire is fire. I'm not seeing that being symbolic of anything. I don't see the devil being symbolic of anything. And before I get too far into that, the wheat, it says in verse 43, the last verse of the parable here, then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. After the weeds are thrown into the fiery furnace, the righteous will shine. The wheat will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears, let him hear. I'm just kind of curious, what are you hearing here? What are you processing? As you see the Word of God, what are you thinking? How's it hitting you? Notice a few things about this. In this parable, unlike last week's parable, there are two sowers, God and the devil. There's two seeds. There's the good seed and there's the bad seed. There's two kinds of people. There are Christians and there are non-Christians. The children of God and the people who are children of the devil. Two kingdoms, the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of this world, the kingdom of light or the kingdom of darkness. There's only one field. All this is happening in this field, the world. I got a question here. Where did the weeds come from? Where did the weeds come from? You go back to verse 25, while everyone was sleeping, and I don't know if that's a rebuke on God's people that they were asleep, or, I don't know. It's just a parable. Maybe don't read too much into it, but it says, while everyone was sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. So there's an enemy, the devil. Jesus, he says it in verse 38 and verse 39. The weeds are the sons of the evil one, and the enemy who sows them is the devil. There is evil in this world. We all recognize that. We all see that. And there is a devil. And some churches out there don't want to talk about that. I don't like talking about it, but it's the truth. It's a reality. Jesus talked about the devil. There is a devil. And that doesn't surprise a lot of us. I think what's going to be hard for maybe some of us to process here, it says there are people in this world who are the children of the devil. The sons of the evil one. And I just think we got to stop and think about that because, you know, some people, they don't see themselves as Christians, but they don't see themselves as children of the devil. I'm like, I don't see a third option. Either you are a child of God or you're not a child of God. Either you're wheat or you're weeds. That's how I see this. In John 8, verse 44, Jesus, he's talking to the Jewish people, the chosen people, God's chosen people, and he says, you belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, and there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. So he's talking to the Jewish people. Your father is the devil. You're listening to him. You're not listening to God. You're listening to the devil. Paul calls out a man in Acts chapter 13, Elymas. He says, you are a child of the devil and an enemy of everything that is right. You are full of all kinds of deceit and trickery. Will you never stop perverting the right ways of the Lord? Paul calls this man out. You are perverting the right ways of the Lord. You are a child of the devil. Now, I'm just thinking right there. There are people in this world who are perverting the right ways of God. And they see themselves as good people. We might see them as good people, but they're perverting the right ways of God. It's not like they're satanic, you know, Satan worshipers or anything, but they're perverting the ways of God. And I see this with so many issues in our world today. People who should know better, people who should know the will of God, people who should know the truth. But there's so many issues out there that people say, well, my God would never. Well, that's perverting the ways of God. If your God will, and you make something up that's not biblical, you're perverting the ways of God. And people are doing it all over our world. 1 John chapter 3, verse 10. This is how we know who the children of God are and who the children of the devil are. Anyone who does not do what is right is not a child of God, nor is anyone who does not love his brother. Now I gotta ask you, are you a wheat or are you a weed? Are you a child of God? According to this standard here, are you a child of God or are you a weed? Maybe you're having a hard time loving your brother. Maybe you're having a hard time doing what is right in the eyes of God. You're doing what is right in the eyes of man. You're doing what's right in your own eyes, but you're not doing what's right in the eyes of God. Are you wheat or are you weed? Children of the evil one, they bear his image. They do his work. I don't think they know they're doing his work, but that's what they're doing. He rules over them. They don't know he rules over them, but he does. He rules over them, and he works through them, sabotaging all the things that God is trying to do. Satan has his own kingdom, his own ministers, his own doctrines. And I go back, I read this here, I see there's only two choices. Either you're actively living your life for Jesus Christ, or you're actively living your life against Jesus Christ. Is there any room for being nominal? Is there any room for being on the fence here? One of two things here. And the servants, they come to Jesus and say, do you want us to go and pull them up? Which I think is a fair question because that's what I want to do. I don't like weeds. We got to pull up the weeds. And I've got some types of weed control here. Might be helpful here. In the Bible, there's a group called the Zealots. Do you know much about the Zealots? They're not mentioned much in the Bible, but the Zealots, they were revolutionary people. They, you know, kill the infidel, kill the Romans. They were all about killing the Romans. But because the Romans were weeds, we got to get rid of the weeds. So that's how the Zealots wanted to respond to everything. And then you got the Essenes. I don't know if the Essenes are mentioned in the Bible, but it was a group of people who lived in biblical times. And their solution was just to separate from everybody else. Don't kill them, but just make, you know, let the weeds need to be over here, and we will go over there. So that's how they just separated from themselves from everybody. And then you got the Pharisees. We're all familiar with the Pharisees. And their idea of how to deal with the weeds, we need more rules. We need more regulations. So they come up with all these different laws. That's how we will control the weeds. The servants, they come to the Son of Man. What do you want us to do? You want us to pull them up? And what does he say? He says, no. No. Because while you're pulling the weeds, you may root up the wheat with them. Let both of them grow until the harvest. So what is Jesus, what's his message here? What's his answer to the weed problem? His answer is patience. Oh, I hate patience. He says, wait. You've got to wait. I don't want to wait. Why wait? Why wait when you know what the weeds are doing? The weeds are damaging the crop. The weeds are robbing them from the nutrients they need. They're choking them out. Why not just get rid of them? Why, when you see this field full of weeds, just start over? Yeah, wipe it out. Which I'm thinking, if it's a field full of green beans, yeah, sure, go. But it's a field full of the children of God. You don't just wipe them out. They're precious to God. You don't just start over. He cares. This is what I see here. You don't wipe it all out because you might hurt the wheat. You might hurt. This shows you how much he loves each and every one of his children. He loves you so much, he doesn't want anything to happen to you. And he knows if you go after the weeds, the wheat's going to get hurt. So there's got to be restraint. It says in Matthew 18, if a man owns 100 sheep and one of them wanders away, will he not leave the 99 on the hill and go and look for the one that wandered off? And then if he finds it, I tell you the truth, he is happier about that one sheep than about the 99 that did not wander off. In the same way, your Father in heaven is not willing that any of these little ones should be lost. He doesn't want one kernel of wheat to be lost. That's how much he values this crop. Leave no wheat behind, okay? And you don't know what's wheat and what's weeds. You know, here, I want to get rid of all the weeds. A lot of people think I'm a weed. I got all kinds of friends on Facebook who think I'm a weed. They're not good friends. They're just, you know, nominal. But, you know, I'm thinking they're weeds. No, they think I'm a weed. So how do you know? You know, in our cancel culture, everybody wants to cancel each other out. We're all just trying to wipe everybody off. No, we don't know which is which. We're wheat. That's not our job to figure this out. Our job is to grow and produce fruit. Our job is not to wipe out the weeds. It's not our job. And another thing, you see, God is patient here. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promises, as some understand slowness. He is patient because he doesn't want anyone to perish. And you see God's patience here in this parable. And it drives us nuts. We don't like it. We want the weeds exterminated. What's the will of God? Now, this is big to me in this parable here. It helps me understand why all this evil exists. Why is it going on? The fourth thing I have, the reapers, the angels, they're the trained ones to do this job. The reapers, the angels. The only harvesters or reapers known in the Bible are the angels in heaven. They will comb for the tares, field by field, row by row, and plant by plant. Nothing will escape their piercing eyes through examination or harvesting. The angels are the true harvesters, chosen, qualified, fit for the job. The angels are superior pickers, like seasoned fruit pickers. They know good fruit from bad fruit. They know good seed from bad seed, good people from bad people. They know how to do the job, and we don't. We don't know how to do the job. All right, so I say all this here. What's the message here? What do we do about evil? And I got a few different messages here. One, for the devil, and I know he's probably here someplace, okay? So for the devil, here's the message that you need to hear wherever you are. Give it up. You're going to burn, okay? That's what the Bible says. And in Revelation 12, the devil who deceived them was thrown into the lake of burning sulfur where the beast and the false prophets had been thrown. They will be tormented day and night forever and ever. Did you hear that, devil? Wherever you are, this is your fate. Give it up. And a message to the angels, the reapers, the harvesters, you got to wait. In to understand, the enemy can't harm the wheat. No one can snatch a child of God out of the hand of God. The enemy, he's going to tempt you. He's going to test you. He's going to mess with you. But he can't touch you. What's your job? Your job. I haven't got there yet. I'll get there in a second here. But for the angels, you just wait. Wait. The enemy can't harm the wheat, but overzealous harvesters can. And God doesn't want anyone to perish. Okay, so now for the wheat, which I'm hoping most all of us in this room, we're supposed to be wheat. We're supposed to be children of God. We put our faith in Jesus Christ. The message that you and I need to hear, if you are wheat, is produce fruit. That's your job. Remember who you are in the parable. You're not the harvester, you're the wheat. Your job is to produce fruit. Keep the main thing the main thing. Be faithful. Don't worry about the evil. God doesn't seem to be worried about the evil. It'll be taken care of in time, in his time. I mean, there's a place in the church we are supposed to keep the church pure. We're supposed to challenge one another to repent. It's not like we just allow anything goes, but don't hurt the wheat. Jesus says, do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust God, trust also in me. Don't let the weeds impede you from growth. Don't let the weeds distract you from doing what God has called you to do. Don't let it get your focus where your focus shouldn't be, which ends up dividing the church, diluting the gospel, harming the children of God. You know, Jesus, during his ministry on earth, he was not militant. He was not a separatist. He was not about rules and regulations. He mingled with sinners. He loved sinners, and he helped sinners. He wasn't condemning them. He was helping them. So if we're going to learn anything to be like our Lord and Savior, our job is not to be like the Pharisees, not to be like the Zealots, not to be like the Essenes. Our job is to be like Jesus. How did Jesus do it? How did Jesus do it? This is how you and I are called to live in a world full of weeds. We are to be faithful. We are to produce fruit. Okay, one more message here. Because I'm thinking, I want everybody in this room to be wheat, okay? I'm hoping everybody in this room is wheat. A child of God, somebody who Jesus Christ is living inside of your heart, and you are all about producing fruit. But I realize there might be some weeds among us. Okay, so if there's some weeds among us, this is a message I have for the weeds. You need to cross-pollinate. Okay? A weed is a weed is a weed, and it can never be anything but a weed, except through Jesus Christ. All things are possible with God. And Jesus can change a spiritual weed into a stalk of wheat. That's the miracle of salvation. That's why salvation is so awesome. This is what Jesus does. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. We all start out as weeds. We're all sinners. But then when Jesus comes into our heart, a miracle happens. He takes the weed and he turns it into wheat. Weeds can be transformed into wheat. I heard this before. What do you get when you cross-pollinate tulips with daisies? Anybody hear this before? Tulips and daisies. You get to daisies. I thought that was cute. Okay. What do you get when you cross-pollinate a sinner with the blood of Jesus Christ, who makes Jesus Christ their Lord and Savior? What do you get? What do you get when you take a sinner who puts their faith in Jesus Christ? What is that? That's a new creation. That is somebody who's been adopted into the family. Somebody who's been grafted in is what it says in Romans chapter 11. Listen to a couple of these verses. Romans 8 verse 23. And we believers also groan, even though we have the Holy Spirit within us as a foretaste of future glory, for we long for our bodies to be released from sin and suffering. We too wait with eager hope for the day when God will give us our full rights as his adopted children. That's a great verse right there. We long for the day we will be given our full rights as adopted children. It says in Ephesians chapter 1, even before he made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes. God decided in advance to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. This is God's will, to adopt you into his family through Jesus Christ. This is what he wanted to do, is what it says. And it gave him great pleasure to do it. So we praise God for the glorious grace that he has poured out on us who belong to his dear son. If you are a weed, God wants you to be his child through Jesus Christ. That's the message of the gospel. It says in Romans 10, verse 11, as the scripture tells us, anyone who trusts in him will never be disgraced. Anyone. Jew, Gentile are the same in this respect. They have the same Lord who gives generously to all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. There's hope for the weeds if you give your life to Jesus Christ. Me and Jesus equals something worth harvesting. Me without Jesus, not so much. I just make people nauseous and dizzy and sick. But with Jesus, that's something worth harvesting. I believe non-Christians can become believers. I believe that people who do not follow Christ may one day follow Christ. That's why we got to be careful about it. You know, when we want to take charge and get rid of the weeds, no, God knows what he's doing. We don't. I believe that people can become new creations in Christ when they repent, when they turn to God. I believe that a person in the kingdom of darkness can move into the kingdom of light. I believe a person can be transformed by the renewing of their mind. I believe the lost can be found. So our job, our role, is to be the best wheat that we can possibly be. Our role is to be the brightest light that we can be in a dark world. Our job is to be the presence of a loving Christ in a world full of weeds. So here's the application. First of all, are you a weed? I think it's a very good question that everyone needs to ask. Am I living as a child of God, or am I living as a child of lawlessness, a child of the devil, a child of the evil one? Or am I listening to the devil? Maybe I don't realize, I don't mean to, but is the devil having an influence in my life? Am I doing his bidding? Am I doing evil? Am I causing others to sin? We all started out as weeds. The wages of sin is death. It says in Romans 3, verse 10, there is no one righteous, not even one. It says in James 2, verse 10, whoever keeps the whole law and yet stumbles at just one point is a weed. You need Jesus. You need Jesus. Here's another question here. Are you a seed? A seed of wheat? Are you a child of God? When the angels come for harvest time, what will they see in you? They're looking for fruit. Did you bear fruit? And how do you bear fruit? It says in John 15, verse 5, if a man remains in me and I in him, you will bear much fruit. Are you in Christ? Are you living in Christ? Are you walking with Christ? The third question, which I think is really relevant with this parable here, is something for us to think about, maybe think long and hard about this. Am I doing damage to God's people? In my zeal for purity and righteousness and in my hate for sin, am I hurting people that God loves? Am I being militant? That's a problem. Am I being a separatist? That's a problem too. Am I all about rules and regulations? Well, that's what the Pharisees did. That didn't go well. Are you condemning others? Are you judging others? Or are you helping people cross-pollinate? Are you helping people come to Jesus Christ? Here's a fourth question, which I think is very relevant. Are you ready for the harvest? Because there will be a harvest. And I don't know when that's going to happen. Could be today. Maybe later this week. Maybe later this year. But you need to be ready for it. Are you ready? The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will weed out of his kingdom everything that causes sin and all who do evil. And they will throw them into the fiery furnace, and there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And I don't see that being symbolic of anything either. That's just weeping and gnashing. And then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears, let him hear. In the end, the good seed sprouted and formed heads. The bad seed, it just appeared. It just existed. The good seed was spectacular. It was beautiful, a sight to behold when ripe, yielding great fruit. The bad seed was unfruitful. The good seed's yield was outstanding. It was timely. It was cherished. The bad seed was useless, if not hazardous and poisonous, and an eyesore, a nuisance. The bad seed did not grow to fruition. It merely grew. They aged, but they did not ripen. They emerged, but they did not excel. They grew, but they did not mature. They were never fruitful. Let me close with this here. In my studies, two things stood out to me about wheat. One is, one thing I didn't know, is wheat doesn't have much of a root, which is kind of bad with last week's parable because, you know, we're supposed to be rooted in Christ. But wheat, I thought this was interesting. It doesn't have a deep root system. It's not firmly attached to this world. That's what that means. No, at harvest time, it's ready to go. It's ready to go. It's not too attached to this world. I thought that was interesting. A second thing that I found out about wheat, which I thought was interesting, as wheat matures, it begins to bow. The head of the wheat, it grows heavy. The grain, the fruit, it begins to bow towards the ground. While the weeds, they stand tall. Straight and tall, it never bows. Isn't that a lesson right there? The Bible promises that someday every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. So, you can bow today before the Lord as you put your faith in Him, as you live for Him, as you abide in Him, you bow in reverence to Him, or you will bow later, but everyone will bow. If you bow before Jesus today, as you mature, as you grow, as you produce fruit, as you bow in reverence to Jesus Christ, your Lord, your Savior, you can know this promise that one day you will shine forever in His kingdom. That's what this says to me. We will shine forever. For all the wheat in here, let's focus on producing fruit. And for all the weeds, any weeds in here, will you cross over today? Will you make Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior today? And live the life that He wants you to live. He doesn't want anyone to perish. He wants everyone to be with Him in heaven.